We are in conversation with Andy and Darren, and they are from the Driving Academy. It is theirs. So how are you where you are now, Andy? How did the Driving Academy come and your involvement with it?
Yeah, well, I've been a driving instructor just over 10 years, and I was finding myself really busy, enjoying what I was doing, and I had a few ideas to grow my business, but really couldn't really do it on my own. I was very good friends with Darren, and we used to sort of have many conversations about how we would like to grow possibly together, and the time just happened, and we said, right, it's time to do it together. And obviously Darren was very successful doing his, and we just decided to almost rebrand together to make the Driving Academy happen. And it just gave us a platform to push our ideas, not just as a driving school, but just into different avenues of driver education.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how about yourself, Darren? I mean, that's pretty much the picture from Andy there.
Yeah, but... yeah. I mean, I'm in my 19th year now as a driving instructor, and you know, it can be a lonely place when you first start off in business. But things grew from, you know, and success, and we've talked since we got to know each other. We've talked quite a lot about how we wanted to grow and do something different, and. You know, we probably talked for too long, really. It went on for 6 months, nearly a year, and we were trying to push things, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we got a phone call one night from a guy who goes by the name of Neil Jones, a very good friend of ours now, who's now moved on to become a police officer. He was in the RAF, and he phoned us one night, and he was coming out of the RAF, and he decided he wanted to... he didn't know what he wanted to do originally, but the RAF do fun things and help you move on into another career. And I think he was almost destined to move towards the police, but at the time they'd offered him funding to become a driving instructor and to help him out that way. So we helped him along the way. That phone call was really what sort of, we've got to thank Neil really, because that phone call was what really sort of pushed us to get our backsides off the ground and move forward into what we wanted to do. And that was over a year and a half ago. And as I said, we thank Neil. He's now moved on into his chosen career because the police were recruiting. And he's just moved into, I think it's Bishop Auckland Station.
That's
at the
right,
moment.
Yeah.
So we're really pleased for him, and we've helped him along the way as he came. But as I say, he played a big part in getting us off the ground and rolling, and there was many mornings, and we were up till quite late to get everything finalised and everything going. But we're really looking forward to what the future holds as well.
Yeah, because it's not just driving lessons, is it? It doesn't strike me as that kind of business where you might just be working as an individual. You ring up, you do driving lessons, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's far more to the Driving Academy as far as I can see.
That's why we formed, because we didn't just want to be a driving school. We wanted to get people in early. So that's where the Under 17 Driving Academy came from.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had that idea for a while, and by joining together, it just gives us a platform to push that. So tell you a little bit about the Under 17. We hold that at Bishop Auckland College. And we hold that every other month, and so far it's been fantastic success. Nearly everybody that does the course rebook for the following one. We've just recently had a young lad, Nathaniel, who's passed his real driving test from doing the Under 17 previously. So he'd got the basic skills, you know, when he'd done the Under 17, and now he's, you know, a full licence holder and obviously passed first time, which is, you know, it's great for us to see that, you know, rolling through.
Yeah, it gives them a great sort of foundation, you know, and, you know, the ability to be able to come in and sit in a car at the age from 14 to 16 and have this opportunity, you know, it's pretty special.
I'm sure parents who drive will know. It doesn't take very long, does it, before your children say, can I have a go at that?
Yeah.
Can I drive? Yeah. Can I drive, Daddy? Can I drive, Mummy?
And I remember as a young sort of 9 to 10 year old, the local sort of allotments where Mum and Dad lived in down near Hillbeck Street in South Church.
Mm.
There were some allotments down the bottom of there, and I used to drive my granddad's minivan round up there, and used to thoroughly love it. A little bit different from the college car park, but yeah, a few potholes to negotiate. Yeah.
So you've actually now taken that idea and made it a legal reality for those who really want to do it.
Yeah, that's it. Our insurance covers us from the age of 14-year-old to be able to do that. Obviously, with the support we've had from Bishop Auckland College, it's been able to. I mean, this year's been great. It was last December, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah,
we started it. And obviously, we the planning we put into it, we hope that it would work. And this year has been absolutely fantastic.
I think we know that it's working because the majority of people rebook. So obviously, it's a nice progression. And we've got people at 14 and 15 year old that can, you know, reverse the round corners and into a bay park unaided already before they're even legally allowed to drive on the road. So it gives us a real opportunity to, you know, give that to the local people to obviously improve, you know, the opportunity to get out there. So our next event's on November the 4th. It's already nearly sold out. I'm not quite sure if we've got one space left, but it literally sells out pretty quick. So
how many do you accommodate at a time then?
We teach 30 young people on each
30.
Occasion. Yeah.
Right.
So already we've done over 150 lessons. In the college car park, so it's been fantastic.
Mm. If you're offering the chance of a 14-year-old to get behind a wheel,
yeah,
and drive, wow,
yeah, and it's amazing what they achieve in that hour as well, because they've got it's a challenging area, but it's also very secure. We're all coned off. We've got quite a nice area to drive in, and they do achieve a lot more in that hour than they would do on the real road. So I think it's a brilliant environment to start.
Yeah, there's less traffic there, obviously, but there is, with having the five cars travelling around at once, there's obviously opportunity for the other car to be turned at the same time, another pupil turned at the same time. So we're obviously, it's all dual control and under control, so which I have to say, very rarely need to get involved with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's surprising just how much they are listening and taking on board. And obviously, at the right level of tuition given, then hopefully you don't get involved with any dual control. So
yeah. Darren, can I ask you about specialist training? Because driving is, it's not quite as straightforward as we sometimes think it is.
Yeah.
What about trailers? You know, because people attach things to the back of their cars, they get the tow bar on, and away they go. But I mean, I've seen some disastrous reversing.
Yes.
With caravans, trailers, you name it.
It can be quite a spectator sport sometimes.
Back
in sort of the first, a lot of people are, it's become more and more aware now, but there's a lot of people still out there that's not aware of it. On the 1st of January 1997, everything changed as far as your driving licence categories were concerned. So before that date, you were given grandfather rights and you were able to drive a vehicle up to 7.5 tonne and what have you. So we can have a 67-year-old lady jumping in an Argos wagon or something and off she goes. Like I say, a lot changed. So, you know, the average family now is quite a lot of guys going out there and caravanning. It's becoming a very popular pastime now. So, as of that date, the 1st of January 1997, if you passed your driving test after that date, then you won't have automatically been given those grandfather rights. So you'll now have to take another test, which is a normal driving test with an examiner, but requires an S-shaped manoeuvre to do, an uncouple and a recouple from your trailer. And the test's about an hour long, an hour and 15 minutes long in total, so it's a little bit longer than your standard test.
Mm.
And it's carried out at a different test centre at over at Darlington's, the closest one to us. Yeah, it's surprising just how many people aren't aware of it still.
Mm.
You obviously get phone calls from a lot of businesses because they are aware of it, but there's people going in to buy caravans and then becoming aware from the dealer. It's probably something that should be addressed at the point of when they pass the driving test, but if you're not told about it, then they don't always know about it till later. So
are we getting increasingly high tech now in training drivers to pass their test and become aware of hazards on the roads and things like that?
Yeah, I think we've and a lot of instructors are moving this way as well, but some we've done for quite a while, using iPads. It's so much more interactive now with pupils, being able to use, we have our own syllabus that we've sort of devised as well, and we have cameras in the car as well, which, if you think about it, a great opportunity. That's totally different when I learnt to drive, but if you think back, having the ability to, if for example, if you're going through Neville's Cross and you're making a right turn or whatever, there's a bit of an error there and you don't notice the red car coming towards you, wherever it might be, and you're able to pull up shortly after it and stream a live feed back to the iPad, obviously in a safe, convenient place there is. Stream it back onto the iPad so they can see not just what's happened maybe on another lesson, which we can use for that, but they can see the actual, this is their lesson, they can see the thing that's just happened. We learn so much more by seeing things than we do when we're listening to something. To see that back and to understand it much better, and then to be able to reapply that back to the same junction, obviously brings things on with that pupil a lot better. They understand a lot sooner and things move forward, you know. So yeah, learning to drive now is much more enjoyable for us, Andy, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Than way back, even when I started in 1999, and it was a flip chart and a whiteboard, you know what I mean, a white sort of board that you could draw on and then wipe off type of thing.
The
old A4 pad, sketch pad, you know.
Yeah, so we have the ability to take an image straight from Google Maps and zoom in onto a particular roundabout or a junction to explain how that might be a little bit different from something they've done before. So for example, if they're doing, for example, Thinford roundabout for the first time, it can be challenging for most people. We have video footage and aerial footage that will give that pupil everything they need before they tackle that for the first time. So it really helps us let them understand how different road systems work. And, you know, as you move on to new towns and you drive out of the comfort zone, this is where the driving really is challenging. It's not just all about driving in a particular area to pass a test. We want the pupils to be able to be comfortable with whatever they're faced when they go to that new town or driving on a dual carriageway. We don't want it to be the first time they've done that. We want it to, through our driving education with that pupil, to try and get them as ready for the road as we can be.
What about this new test? How is that changing? The new driving test?
Yeah, well, on the 4th of December this year, it is changing, and I think it's changing for the better in many ways. Every time there is a change, there's a lot of moans, like in most industries. But I think, you know, it is about embracing it, move forward. Some of the sort of things that we're looking at, in a sad way, we were talking, saying that they've removed reverse around the corner,
and the
turn in the road from the driving test.
What we call the three-point turn.
Three-point turn. So they've removed that from the driving test as of that date. It doesn't say we won't still be teaching it. It is something that still should be in there. It would have been nice maybe to have it still as an option for the driving examiner. I'm sure maybe a lot of those guys agree as well. But they're replacing it with pulling into a driving bay forwards and then reversing back out of that drive bay to leave that. And that will be done in a car park, not at the test centre. So a little bit different. What the reason why these changes come in is because basically after passing driving tests, there are certain things that a learner driver, or should say the new driver, will come across and maybe haven't been taught by their instructor these things. So when the DVSA probably take their data and find out that there are accidents because of these things, they implement them into their driving test, or they certainly look to, and that's where they move forward with these things. The pulling into a bay is currently done at the end of the test, but it's not actually marked. So if something was to go a little bit wrong at that point, a pupil wouldn't be marked on that at the current time.
Right.
But as of,
But
you know, just because it's not basically in the test. But as of the 4th of December, it will, or it certainly will be an option for the examiner to pull into a car park. We'll find out more details about where those car parks will be. I'm sure local businesses won't be very happy with that, but we'll find out. And that's all. Obviously, we've been changing our syllabus now to accommodate the new changes that's coming in December. Another thing they're bringing in is which has caused a lot of
controversy
is pulling up on the right-hand side of the road, which for years it's in the highway code that we shouldn't do it. And a lot of instructors obviously are against probably this part of but there are times where it might need to be carried out. So I think the important thing is, before people get too irate about it, is that there will be times where you need to pull up on the right, although it's not advisable. So what we're saying is, you wouldn't look to do it, but if that's your only option, then maybe on that occasion you might need to. So what we'll be educating our pupils in is, it's not something that we'd like you to look to do commonly. It's something just to be done only when necessary, when there's no other option, you know?
I think it's worth mentioning also that the sat-nav's going to be probably the biggest change in the driving test. So currently on a driving test, the driving test lasts for about 40 minutes, and you're asked to do one reverse manoeuvre. So that's going to stay as is. And currently they'll have a 10-minute section of independent driving where the examiner will ask the pupil to follow signs to a location and then change that sign during the route. And that lasts for about 10 minutes. The new driving test will have a 20-minute section using a sat-nav, so that they will pull up at the side of the road. There'll be a sat-nav mounted by the examiner on the dashboard in a safe place. And then the examiner will have a preset route that the pupil will then have to follow using the sat-nav. So we've been doing some trials ourselves with pupils, and we found it being really interesting. And, you know, I've not had any negative feedback at all from the pupils, because they see the parents using it, they see a lot of businesses using it, you know, the delivery drivers out there. And it's just part of driving these days that more than half the cars out there currently use a sat-nav. So by putting it into the driving test, it does make a lot of sense, and it gets a pupil used to using them devices and not just relying on, you know, the other things that they could use when driving. So I think it's a really...
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like we were saying earlier on, there are some changes that happen after you pass your driving test that prior to this maybe haven't been taught, you know. A lot of the, you know, using the mobile phones and stuff like that, which you know is illegal, but maybe using, if they're in airplane mode, as a sat-nav, you know. And these are big distractions to a new driver, which is why, we were saying earlier on, this big distraction can cause an accident, which is why the DVSA have obviously brought this into the driving test, that it should be taught at grassroots level, so that when they become, you know, fully qualified licensed, you know, they're used to it. They can deal with that. We believe that the pupils won't be setting the sat nav though. That will be a planned route already set on the examiner's sat nav, which you could say maybe in the future that might change. We don't know where they might have to set something, but at the moment it's a planned route, so not to be too scared about the technology.
And they'll also be asking them some questions on the move as well, that they may ask them to wash the windscreen on the move, so it gets them used to interacting with the car, not just doing it when you stay stationary. So that's obviously a change as well. So I think it's you know, we welcome it, and we think we're exciting to, you know, to bring it in.
Sounds like a more realistic approach.
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah.
It's getting ready for the real world, really, rather than...
You're never going to please everybody. There's always going to be people that will say, well, I don't think they should have done this, and I don't think they should have done that. But overall, I think it's a really positive move forward.
Motorway driving.
So plans are in place to bring the motorway drivings for driving instructors and pupils in for 2018. So a pupil who's learning to drive can... from next year go on the motorway with a driving instructor in a dual control car. So it's not a license for anybody that's got an L plate to go out on the motorway. They've got to be with the driving instructor. The date's still to be confirmed, but we think it's a brilliant idea. You know, we take our pupils sometimes over to the theory test centre at Middlesbrough, so they get a chance to overtake on a dual carriageway doing the A19 or the A66, and also the A689 over towards Hartlepool, and it's a totally different style of driving. And to obviously add the extra lane when you're dealing with motorways, to think that some of our pupils are going to go and do that for the first time, possibly without tuition, you know, we think it's a great idea bringing that in.
I think and there'll be some listeners out there where they might be sort of concerned, or the parents might be concerned, that thinking that putting them on the motorway while they're learning to drive, well, it's no different to the A19, really, you know, as far as speed is concerned and planning and three lanes if you go around Middlesbrough or whatever. So this is something you know, a bit like the sat nav I was saying earlier on, to be able to then go onto the road, onto the motorway, sorry, after passing driving test, it's not going to be as a scary sort of experience, because they'll, I mean, there is a pass plus scheme in place and has been for years, but what we've noticed is that it's diminished a little bit over the years, the amount of people that are taking this up. So by us being able to implement this into our syllabus, obviously at the right time, so the pupil's not, you know, going to be 10 lessons in and we're going to be chucking them into a motorway, it is going to be very close to test sort of standard that we're talking about. You know, it's not, they will be ready and they'll be assessed at that point before we even make that decision to take them on there. But yeah, having that facility to do that is a great step forward for them, and so it's going to be a lot safer. You imagine you will get pupils of all kinds, but some pupils that'll not take on this training as far as the Pass Plus scheme's concerned. And like most 17-year-olds, I know where I was like when I was 17, it was like, I'm going to do it and I'm just going to get on with it. And jumping on a motorway at a certain time of night or rush hour or whatever can be quite daunting, and it just takes that 3-foot move to the right and we've got a multi-vehicle accident. So it is important that it's done at the right level.
It's hard to believe it's taken this long, quite frankly, to teach driving on the motorway driving properly. Let's talk about the theory tests. Are they changing?
Obviously, the theory test has been out for quite a while now, and the first one was on a paper, and the test centre used to go through was through at Durham, but that's all changed now. And there's just, you know, the three sort of local test centres, well, not local, there's Sunderland, Newcastle, and Middlesbrough is the one we tend to sort of push our pupils towards, just for ease more than anything else. But we invested in a company called Theory Test Pro, which is it's a great sort of system. We're able to enrol our pupils on there, and we can, in a way, we can see what's happening in the background, because we have like a master copy at our end, so we're able to sort of check when they've been on, how they're doing, what they've got right, what they've got wrong, and support them outside of driving lessons with that as well, not just on the driving lessons. So yeah, it's a great system. And Andy's probably going to mention a little bit, we've then done some we've created our own sort of
training program, really,
around
we found that by watching what the pupils were doing from our side, that there was some issues with certain pupils that needed a bit more support than others, and some of these conditions are undiagnosed, and obviously it could be quite embarrassing for some people to mention that they may be struggling with reading and things like that, and they may not realize that they could use headsets when they get to the theory test center. So Darren and myself, we put our heads together and designed a training course that we wanted to obviously push out to the public. And we got talking to somebody from Durham County Council, and we come together with them and started to push these courses out to the community. So we've done quite a few of those over the last 18 months in conjunction with Durham County Council and Dean and Valley Homes as well. We did a course for them, helping the people that use their services. And we really just take it down to, you know, a few hours of a training course, give them the access to the website that obviously helps them achieve the training required to do the theory test. And we found it being really successful, and the people have really enjoyed the course and the way we're trying to put it across to them. It's not just all the people that may have some learning difficulties, but so, you know, just obviously breaking the theory test down so people understand what's required. And you know, there's over 1,000 questions that, you know, is in the question bank, so it's not something you just want to turn up and have a go at. You do need to know your stuff, and not only do we want you to pass the theory test, we want them to understand it, because, you know, it's obviously quite crucial when you come to those junctions, you know, later on post test, that you need to understand how they work and the laws, you know, regarding that. So
I think before it came about, what we'd sort of notice is the pupils, because if you can't track what that pupil's doing, then you could ask your pupil, how's it going? Like, oh yeah, it's going great. And the only way you've really got to test them is obviously Q&A in the car to find out what they do and what they know about and what have you. And you get pupils going for a driving theory test that haven't done the work that they should have done. And yes, because it's multiple choice, you will get a few that'll slip through the net that really shouldn't have slipped through the net and got a pass certificate. And them guys are then out there on the road when they pass the driving test with 25% knowledge of what they should know. But with the way the programme we run in it, we actually are aware that they've covered 100% of the questions. Mm. And we know when they're doing mock tests. Really, without sounding too big-headed about it, we believe that most of them are just going through there to pick that certificate up because they've done the work, and that's the reason for doing that. You know?
Yeah. Where we've done these courses in conjunction with the different businesses, we are looking for a possible avenue to push this out to the public, so not only to our pupils, but possibly people that maybe frightened to start learning to drive because a theory test is...
It's a barrier.
It's a barrier that maybe because of maybe there's issues with reading or different learning examples, that we can obviously look in next year to maybe bring that into the public domain. So, you know, watch this space. It's something we're sort of talking about at the minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's finish on this note. Amy Tinkler. A very well-known local personality, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
And you've had a success story.
Absolutely, yeah. I've taught a few people over the last few years that have known Amy through their gymnastics. So it always seemed, you know, right that Amy was going to come our way when that time came. And she lives on the same estate as me, so I've sort of seen her grow up as such. So. You know, we had conversations before Rio about getting Amy booked in for her driving lessons, which was quite exciting and quite great for the driving academy, but also, you know, to sort of look after Amy, make sure that she was going to be safe, because, you know, for the travelling she does, she's up and down the country, you know, every week, hundreds and hundreds of miles. So it was really important not only to train Amy and get her to be a great driver, but to make sure that she's a really good safe driver as well. So Amy was in between a training, and she's very, very busy, lots of hours in the gym every week and lots of travelling. So we fitted her in, you know, where we could, and we were driving at all times, early morning, late nights, weekends, you name it, to make sure we got the enough training to get ready Amy for getting Amy ready for a test. And, you know, when that day came, she went through to Durham and managed to pass a test with zero faults. Which is
zero,
you know,
faults.
Yeah, which is
that's wonderful.
Typical Amy, really. But yeah. It was interesting to see the insight into, you know, a young person and the dedication to the sport. So, and she applied, you know, that sort of mentality to her driving, which was great. You know, passed the theory test first time as well. So yeah, it was brilliant to be part of that journey.
Okay.
A massive sort of well done to any of our pupils that that went and did the Great North Run yesterday for a lot of charities. You know, I know there are some out there that I know have done it. So massive well done to you.
Yeah, well done, guys.
Yeah,
indeed. Well said. All right, then. Well, thank you, Darren, and thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much.
And the best of luck with the Driving Academy.